All right, call our meeting back to order. All members present, Mr. Preston and Mr. Eust. All right, what do you got for us, Frank?
I wanted to bring you up to date on the tire situation. Several weeks ago, I let you know that the contractor let us know that the price there would be a price increase. Pretty substantial, it more than doubled the cost of the tire removal. Price went from on average of $1,500 a month to about $3,200 a month. So Linda and I met in regards to getting a either an RFP or a bid package out to see if we can have those services done by someone else. But in the meantime, I've done some research on tire shredders. If we shred or cut those tires apart, we can dump them into the regular waste stream without any charge at the landfill. It's the solid tires that pump up back to the surface. So at the rate that we're currently paying, that'll be $38,400 a month. I'm sorry, a year for tire disposal. So far, the tire shredders that I've found, they're expensive. Anywhere from the lowest I found was about $65,000 up to $250,000. So return on investment is usually, what, 4 to 7 years?
It just depends. I mean, it's not like a 2.5-year process there.
Yeah, but $38,000 is a substantial number to be spending on, even if we did get a good bid. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on a tire shredder.
I'm interested. I'd like to know what it does. I mean, does it... When you say shredded, I mean, I'd like to know more about it. I'm interested okay. and open to it.
There's several different types of processes in tire shredding. The cheapest process is called a primary shredder, and its only purpose is to put it into 4 to 6 inch chunks, and it doesn't really have any resale value in that particular form. As you get into secondary shredders and separators, separating the cords and the metal from the rubber, then those products have some resale value on the recycling market. But those, the more processes you get into making the raw material smaller and valuable, the more expensive your upfront costs will be. So I will continue to look into it. And
if you could send me anything email-wise,
okay.
I'd like to read about it. I don't know anything about it, but if you've got something.
There's a couple of great websites that will, anyone else interested in seeing it, I'll copy it. Yeah. Mr. Pendle, you asked me to bring up the Quail Road drainage issue.
Yes.
Mr. Burton's home. And
yeah, I've got a, I guess, anyway, I was thinking that we had approved fixing it, and he thought that. I guess maybe that's where I got it. And Mr. Hughes looked up our minutes for us, and it doesn't show that. I don't know if y'all remember this, Quail Road, there's a runoff problem. It's washing out between two houses.
They purchased the home supposedly to flip it, and there was a long-standing drainage problem in the neighborhood, and it ends up going between these two homes.
Is there erosion?
Yeah, about a 60-foot culvert, and we had talked about supplying materials and the culvert, and they would do the work, and then as we further looked into it, I believe the work was more substantial than we had thought. And then one of the last questions was it truly a county issue at all?
And I just got a phone call from him this morning that I have yet to return.
What day was that meeting?
Well, there's November 30th and then December.
There were photographs with it.
December 3rd.
Yes.
November 3rd and December what?
November 30th and December 3rd.
Okay. I'd like to listen to audio because I thought there were some action items. Did you guys listen to the audio at all?
No, I didn't.
I remember bringing it up, and I remember there was, I thought there was some action on both parties. I'm going to, if it's, I don't want to, I'm not ready to make a decision. I'd like to listen to the audio of this and bring it back up.
He's confident that we agreed to do something.
Okay.
And I kind of thought, I thought I'd see minutes to that effect. But
if I could take, Jim, if you want me to take that package back, I can do that audio research if you want. Or have some in the office do it.
Oh, that's fine. That'd be fine. It's Quail Road, right? I remember the discussion. I thought there was a discussion of the size of culvert. Was it big enough? I don't know. There's so many things.
Mr. Use, did you check this year as well? Okay.
The next thing I have is the sports club on Lafayette. I met with the manager of the sports club last week to discuss parking options for them. They do have a significant amount of grass area that they have in the past used for parking when they have large sports events. It's a nonprofit organization. They do have a bucket in the office that they call their parking lot fund that's not filling up very fast. So they are aware that it's a situation. They've had large tournaments like this in the past where the conditions weren't so wet and the parking didn't seem to be an issue. I had Mr. Stoddle go out and talk to the person across the street from this where we could, it's 20 feet of driving surface and we do have a 40-foot right-of-way, we could force the issue and put a parking lane on that side. He's very adamant against that. He doesn't see a need for it, and he's not on good terms with the county in his mind because of previous commissioner made some promises as far as drainage go when Buchanan Road was improved there. And according to Mr. Stoddle, we met all of his requirements and demands, but the gentleman doesn't believe that, so he holds a grudge against the county for something that happened a long time ago.
This is the sports club people?
No, the neighbor
across the street where we had, where we would logically could improve the road to make six or eight parking spots. According to the manager, if the weather had not been such as it was that day, we wouldn't really probably be talking about this.
Yep.
So.
You're looking for direction from us? What's next?
I'm... We could force the issue across the street. I'm uncomfortable in doing that. There's already hard feelings between the gentleman and the county. I don't know if we would be open to donating some loads of gravel to a nonprofit if we've done something like that in the past to help them improve their situation, which would help our situation. Not doing any work, just let them.
Well, I guess my question is, what's to prevent this from happening again? I mean, we're basically saying if we don't do anything, it'll happen again. Correct?
We go back to the original then, which would be post no parking signs was the first request that we had heard. So if the one side, the best side to do no, to do force the people to park on would be on the side where this gentleman lives. The issue was people not being able to get down into the neighborhood or the street down there.
Well, parking on both sides of the road is the issue.
Right. So, if we posted no parking on this gentleman's side, it would create some parking on the other side. Not optimum, but they did it that day. And he wouldn't have people parking in his...
Did he have a problem with that?
Yes.
Okay, so he did have a problem with people parking on his side of the road.
Yes, even though it's county right away. He maintains it like it's ours, and he does a good job of it, like it's his.
I mean, I'd like to see parking and no parking on one side, you know. Just
yeah,
from the safety aspect of the neighborhood.
And for emergency access and all that, I'm with you.
So I forgot, they had a meeting.
They had a regional basketball tournament or something like that, and
they blocked the road up.
They've had them on a pretty regular frequency, and they plan to have them
all summer
as frequent and possibly more if, as things get better. And due to the weather conditions, that particular day was the first time to their awareness that they've really had a parking problem where the sheriffs had to come out and be called. So I think no parking on one side would leave access for the residents, which was the primary issue.
I'm for that.
Okay.
On the, and put the no parking on the residence side.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I'm...
And the residence is the one that's not happy with us to start with?
Yes. He'd be okay with no parking on the side. He just doesn't, with the no parking signage, he doesn't want people parking on that side.
So he'd be happy with what we're saying we're going to do?
Yes.
Or not happy? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he'd be happier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
I think you got three yeses.
The horse arena at Mincy Park has come to my attention several times in the last few weeks. I've spoke with Brenda Howell, I believe. Howell is her name. It's in a state of disrepair. It needs to be worked. Tommy Howell wrote me a two-page instruction list on how he believes it should be repaired. He did maintain it for some time in the past. They do have some upcoming events, and they think they could have more if the arena was maintained in a better state. I've, based on my conversation with Mrs. Howe, there's some possibility of having some free materials with some type of fine aggregate brought in to mix with the soils that are there to help the condition of that soil. And then also recommendation is to bring in some topsoil. There's a piece of ledge rock on one end of the arena that's problematic, and so the proposal is to take that ledge rock out, bring in some really fine aggregate, and mix it with 4 or 5 loads of topsoil for an expenditure of materials-wise probably about $750.
This is for the riding arena.
In Mincy Park.
And who's asking us to fix it?
The Saddle Club or the Riders Association? There's some type of association out there.
Before they ride their horses in there, they'd like to have that ledge area fixed, is what I understood. She had me come down there and look, and they had cleared out a section. My statement was to her was, if we do the trash deal that we had talked about at Harrison, hauling a load of our
recycled metals
to Harrison, that Jernigan had made the statement that they had all the free material that we wanted on the Arkansas line side of that. It wouldn't cost the county anything but pulling in there and loading it in an end dump, taking it down there and dumping it out, and you do away with this expense to see where it goes from there. How quick was we planning on? We already took a vote on that.
We are already in the action of doing that. I don't know when the anticipated first loads to go down are.
But that's what I told her. I said, that's no county expense. It's on the way back from taking a load of metal down, and right. They just run. As a matter of fact, they cut through there and then cut through and come right by there going back to the location and dump an end load, and then the next week, however long it takes to get an end load, dump another, about 3 of those, and you're fixed up and you don't have to worry about it.
Do you know what that material was? Was that the fine aggregate?
This was what he called fines.
So we may not need to bring topsoil in at all?
No, may not have to bring topsoil in at all. This was the man, is it Herb or somebody that works for Jernigan? He was the main guy for Jernigan's operation. They got a quarry right there across the state line.
Hmm.
He offered that to us free last year or so, but I wouldn't go along with it because we were crossing the state line to go get something, and it was going to be out of the way to go get it. the way this is we're loading and unloading without any cost to the county.
So do we don't need to break rock then?
I think we still do need to break a piece of ledge rock out of one portion of the arena in preparation for anything we bring in.
I think it, but it's very, I mean, it's
it wouldn't near take
the
long.
Wall, and it's that deep.
I'm new to this whole the park relationship and all that. Does this open us up to cemeteries too?
No, this is what was donated to the park, to the county by the Powell family.
Okay.
So I'm not clear on it either, Mr. Strand. Is it, so one could call this an official county park?
It is a county park, yeah.
I wasn't 100%.
There's only two that we have an investment in, Powerside and this one.
So that was the request, make some improvements on the riding arena and try and do it at, I would try to do it at minimal cost in preparation to do whatever material comes in. We would need to do a little bit of rock hammering. I think getting the equipment there and taking it away would take longer than the actual rock breaking itself.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it would have been nice if we would have had the stuff back from the Corps. Well, we're going to do the rock breaking at the Savage deal there. That we could have done it all on the way down or on the way out or whatever.
They have all the information. The Corps has everything.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
So it could be done at that period of time, but they're wanting to get some horse show events and a little park's used every weekend.
Sure.
So do we? Generally, the expense to come out of the park budget, needless to say, do we generally get a recommendation from the park board?
I've not worked with them in the past.
Yeah, we would on that if we was going to do that. If there was expense, I don't see that there's any expense with the...
Or just the hammer. I mean, there'd be a few hours
on
there.
On that, yes. But on the material that's coming back...
Yeah, if there's no expense, but...
Yeah.
Who wants to... Bring it up, Danny. You want to take it to the park board and just tell them what we're doing, or what do you want to do?
I think they were going to make an actual presentation to the park board, but they last time there wasn't a quorum or something.
Last two times, I think.
Yeah.
I think what I'm hearing is I need to wait until we hear the park board saying they're all right to use their own money.
Okay.
I mean, is that my understanding correct?
Right.
I think that's right.
I think it's important that the ledge rock be taken out anyways.
They may have their money.
Well, I'm sure they had a pretty good budget. So.
I'm not talking about their budget. I'm talking about they may have their own money to do this and ask for reimbursement later because they raise their funds through their...
Well, I'm fine on that event. Return trip thing you're talking about, Dan. I'm fine with doing that, but from a ledge rock perspective, any expenses that we're going to charge their department.
Right, and I think it's going to be an hour. It's going to take longer to drive down there and do it than than it is to do the job.
Okay.
So, okay with moving forward with the ledge rock removal and wait on the other activities?
No, ledge rock is going to cost us. Is that not what you said?
Mm-hmm. Find out if they've got any funds for the ledge rock deal.
So they would pay for labor and
everything.
Okay.
And see if then they can ask for a request on it from the park board or whatever. Might be the reverse way to do it, but they're needing to get it done so they can have scheduled shows, I think.
Excuse me. What's next?
Next item, we had a Waste Corps bill come in for the cleanup, and it was very similar to last year's cost, just $7,060. In review, and I thought we had quite a long discussion on how this bill should be spread. I thought we said, should it be 100% transfer or 50-50 with road and bridge? The minutes show 50% GCR and 50% road and bridge. That's what the minutes reflect.
But you were thinking different.
I thought we talked about 50% transfer station and 50% road and bridge. I think you made the statement that you didn't think it was right for 100% to go to transfer station. I don't remember GCR being in there, but that's what the minutes stated. I don't remember that being a part of the discussion.
Well, we could listen to the
audio.
Listen to the audio, because I don't remember. I remember the discussion, like you said. But.
We made a decision at one time to take 50-50 out of that.
Well, we did.
It was from Road and Bridge and...
GCR.
Well, transfer.
Right. The minutes showed opposite.
Right, that's what I remember is transfer, but the minutes show opposite, so I'll...
need to listen to the audio.
Okay.
I remember a GCR discussion, I really do.
It may be that.
Should we have Jim do that?
Oh, he'll let him decipher it. Because the next question we're going to say is why, and so he can just listen to it.
Next issue is Acacia Club Road. At the bottom of Acacia Club, prior to the box culvert that we repaired, on the right-hand side at the bottom of the hill is a gentleman by the name of Mr. Sinclair, 148 River Lake. As you drive by there, you'll see an old resort that was under construction for some proposed condos, and it's sort of stagnated and hasn't had any movement on it for quite some time. He reminded me last week that we haven't done anything to remedy his flooding problem from the runoff that comes off of Acacia Club. And I think that problem is compounded by the construction activities who put in a storm drain system but didn't really contour the land to where the storm drain system would work. So I think it might be a combination of water coming off the hill and the storm drain system that's not connected, not working, and the grading is really made the drainage a lot worse there. I talked to Eddie about that development. He said it's in a lawsuit right now. There is a bond on it. We could pull that bond and have somebody or ourselves do some work out there to help improve the drainage. The gentleman's lived here about 8 or 9 years. He believes that when we improved Acacia Club years ago, we should have undergrounded all of that drainage at that point in time.
I think, I hate to interrupt you, but I think we're talking about a double discussion here. I think we've already talked about this back whenever Ron Hershen was here and everything was done at that point to what was going to be done. I may be wrong about it. Is that the way you remember it, Chuck? Do you know where that resort turns back into the right at the foot of the hill, and there was big controversy about the water, the water in the cul-de-sac at the end there was a cul-de-sac problem. We went in there and did some things. I'm almost sure that we fixed some things down there. As a matter of fact, I was down Acacia Club Road when we had some trucks in that area, so I think it needs to be investigated.
I know that some things were done by the contractor at the time to help the people get in and out of their home because it was so muddy and boggy. Some loads of base were brought in to raise the road up, but that actually compounded the problem of the drainage being an issue there. We try and keep the drains on the upper side of the hill as clean as we can, and when they're in a clean state, I believe it helps quite a bit. But it's a constant maintenance issue.
I think you better go look at that because I think we did some other things. I think there's some actual curbing poured or something down there that was this thing here was brought up to our attention before. And it was real questionable because it got off of the county road so far, before the problem actually existed that we addressed it. And I think there was a lot of questions about it, and I think there was work done. So if you guys don't care, I'd like to table it until he brings back some more, maybe even bring some pictures in.
That's fine. I mean, it sounded like Frank brought this up to me briefly on Friday and just sounded like there's a lot of factors. I mean, an incomplete construction site is going to cost some of it, which has something to do with it too. So, I'm fine with it. If you're going to do some more research, come back then.
Fine with me.
I did some research last year in regards to upgrading the drainage. If we were to go underground from the
hill to the structure, it would be a $30,000 to $50,000 project, depending on the size of pipe required. So,
Frank, you might check right up close to the house, right up close as they go down and make your turn, where the office or their house or whatever they want to call it. There, we even did a talk of a variance or something, so we could get closer to where we could make the turn there. This was a big, big discussion item, and the cul-de-sac, the distance from the home, the circumference of it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of discussion on this issue, but it was with Mr. Hershen, not with Mr. Straffa, so you have to go back that early to find it.
When it rains heavy, we get a lot of drainage calls. I have one on Parksley this afternoon I need to go look at. Last week we talked about the miscommunication we had at the transfer station for being closed on a holiday. I have prepared, I don't know if you want to talk about this. In the past, it seems that we waver back and forth on what days should we take off at the transfer station for the holidays. If we could spend 5 or 8 minutes or so looking at these calendars and see if there's we can make some quick decisions on what logic would be the right day to close, if any. What you have is a package that shows you all the holidays for the rest of the year.
Well, Frank, let's go back to the one that we just messed up on.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see that there was any problem. Where am I missing something? The Friday was the holiday.
And we were closed on Saturday.
What's the difference whenever they took Friday off as a holiday and they usually work half a day on Saturday or alternate, right?
It's different with different holidays. From my perspective, the problem was that the public wasn't notified by means of newspaper or radio, so we had some visitors that tried to dump their waste, and the facility was closed. So I would hope that if we could identify which day before, after, or including the actual holiday that we were closed, I can get some public notifications out there, and we would hopefully minimize people showing up at the gate without knowing that the place is closed.
Well, it looks like up until November, everything's on a Monday, so we're closed on Sunday, so being closed on Monday seems very normal and easy, and no extra days, okay? And that's my opinion. What's your thoughts?
I would have to check into what our commercial haulers do. A lot of times commercial haulers don't follow.
You're doing well.
I'm getting there. Commercial haulers do not follow the government schedule as far as days off. So could I let them know that we would be closed on a Monday and they would have to make accommodations, adjust their schedules, which is common also in the...
That's what I'm saying. We close, they can just hold an extra... I mean, we have to pay overtime or time and a half if they work.
Right.
There's no reason to be open on those Mondays. I don't see... Memorial Day on Monday, we're closed on Sunday. Just it's normal to be closed... just like July 5th, which is a normal holiday, September 6th, that seems pretty normal, and a Columbus Day in October. I mean, the biggest discussions it looks like we're going to have is November, December, just because of where the holidays fall.
Mm.
So, but I'm fine with just being closed those specific Mondays.
Yeah. With notification.
Okay.
I think, you know, it wouldn't hurt anything if you had some kind of deal that you could post out there on the gate.
That was my hope, to have a sign for the year that would be up there from now until the end of the year.
Yeah. So, well, if you had that month, and then the next month rolled around, you had that month, you know what I'm saying, just in a big sign when you had that marked off, just like you do here.
Mm-hmm.
I think surely they can understand that.
So are we not do anything special for the commercial haulers when we're closed on Friday or Monday?
Sometimes we've had people, commercial haulers, that say they absolutely could not operate that way, and we've had people come in, two people, to deal with a couple of loads from a commercial haulers, and sometimes we've asked the commercial hauler, hold off till the next day, we'll be absolutely closed, there won't be anyone here. And then they'll call you and say, you can't do that to me, I have to work on Mondays.
So we've done it both ways.
We have done it both ways.
Unless you have some help out there, of course, don't they receive double pay then unless we take?
Unless they take another day off.
Take another day off. Unless you got somebody that's just voluntarily doing that, I don't think.
But I thought it's time and a half if they work a holiday.
I think it is.
Even if they ask another, even if we give them another day off, we have to pay them extra because they worked a holiday.
Right, but we don't have to pay double time, I don't think.
One of the things that is, as a general comment, in the defense of the waste of the transfer station people, is they feel like they miss out on holidays as to where other people in Road and Bridge don't. And a lot of their holidays, not a lot, according to this, just a few, their holidays in Road and Bridge, you can have continuous days off. In the transfer station, you'll have a holiday off, and then you'll work a day, and so it separates their days off and not, doesn't give them continuous days off. And they already work 6 days a week, so. Do we want to discuss these last two? I'm good now until November, based on the Monday conversation.
Well, Veterans Day.
Is it Thursday?
So if they take off Veterans Day, they're going to be, I mean, they're going to work?
Friday, Monday.
Friday and Saturday. So I can't see that that's a big one.
Okay, so would we be open to closing it that day?
Yeah.
I mean, I think so.
Unless you got somebody that's just, unless you got help out there, and they're overworked the way it is, mm-hmm. the way I see it. Unless you got somebody that's just voluntarily, you got a couple of them. You can't have one person out there, but if you got a couple of them that right. volunteer. Now, if they volunteer, I expect them to be there. Because we don't want them calling, as you said, calling Pennell,
right.
Strahan, or Strophus, whenever they've told us that they're going to be there, and then they're not there.
When you say volunteer, you mean without pay?
No. I mean volunteer to work.
Okay, so I hear two close on Veterans Day.
That's fine.
Okay.
The question I'm mulling around here is the one way sometimes, and as far as those commercial haulers on Monday when they have a holiday. I mean, because I think I heard you said we've opened up for them for an hour or two.
We have in the past.
For the commercial haulers. Are we okay with that?
But we've also closed in the past and told them no. And they go to a different landfill that may or may not be open. Springfield will still be open on those days, I assume. It's a private facility.
I know it's inconvenient, but we got to think of our employees, too, and giving them a day off is...
Is it Springfield and Reed? Is that where they got the mm-hmm. opportunity? Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of haulers from Reed, although they have a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we have better rates.
Right. So I think that we don't inconvenience our employees for their... Because, you know, I can see where they can get tired of that, of working every 6 days a week, you know.
Well, that, don't they do some kind of a every other one off or something?
They have probably a year now they've been on a rotation to where they're not consistently. It had been they worked pretty regular that way, but they are alternating weekends now. Okay, Thanksgiving and Christmas, we'll wait on those or discuss them.
What did we do last year for Thanksgiving?
I have to look it up.
Yeah, why don't you come back? I mean,
I mean, Christmas is the Saturday, so we're going to have to be closed the 25th and the 1st. I don't see why we'd be open for a half a day on a Saturday on the 25th and the 1st. That's my opinion. I mean, we might as well just, that seems to be easier than, personally I'd close the 27th of November, the 25th and the 1st. That's where I stand.
You'd close the 27th.
I would. It's going to be cold half day anyway. Aren't we open half days basically on Saturday? That gives those people a big weekend. Treat them more, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of hauling taking place anyway. I mean, they don't pick up, you know, no one picks up trash during holidays. At least my trash service company doesn't. I mean, they're just going to blow off that week for me.
Hmm.
There you got one commissioner's opinion. Now you can work on those guys.
So we're looking at, we're closed. The courthouse is closed the 24th.
Correct.
And you're saying that we close the transfer station?
On the 24th and the 25th.
Okay. You said something about the 27th.
27th November.
Well, I'm thinking about our commercial haulers. And whether it's, we got somebody else comes in, I think we ought to talk to them.
I can have Karen talk to them all and tell them these, we are proposing these closed dates. What impact would that have on you?
I think we ought to consider what their situation is. For instance, if we close the 24th, 25th, and the 27th, is what you were saying on Christmas time?
No, 27th of November. For December, 24th and 25th.
Okay.
And on the 31st and the 1st of December.
Okay.
And then November, closing the 27th, so we'd be closed the 25th, 26th, and 27th.
Well, I'm with you. I'd like our employees to have off, but that makes the trash haulers hold from the 24th to the 29th.
Only if they're picking up trash.
I don't think they can go there.
What's your date? Where are you?
My commercial service doesn't get picked up that whole week, and I have commercial service at one of my businesses. So
you're still November though, aren't you, Chuck?
Yeah, we're looking at November now.
Uh-huh. I'd like to know what we did last year.
Yeah, I'm. You can ask, then bring it back to us. Bring commercial haulers back to us, but I'm in for the 25th, 26th, and the half a day the 27th. But let's see what they say.
But we're going to go ahead with the Mondays that we already agreed to?
Yeah, the Mondays are all cleared.
I'm fine with Mondays.
I'd still like, if we're going to ask anyway, I'd like to ask what that does to them.
Okay.
Since we've done it two ways in the past.
Can I mention the option that Reed Springs, verify that Reed Springs is open?
Yeah, you can, Springfield or Reed Springs.
Okay. Do we need to be out by 2, Truman?
Yeah.
You may need to be. We're still here.
Next issue, pulling wire at the transfer station this week for the scale house so that we can get the communications line and not have the interference between the phone getting, credit card machine getting knocked offline.
Who's doing that?
Gary Morgan. We put the conduit in a week or 10 days or so ago, and Gary Morgan will be doing the rest. Shorty Cooper had some washout on the curb from this last rain, so I met with Randy, Gene, and Harlan this morning, and we'll be putting some concrete backing underneath the curbing prior to regrading that road, probably 10 yards or so of concrete, just so that it's not undermined to the point yet that it would
collapse,
but this will also help prevent any future damage prior to. We're looking at paving the third week in May, but some of their other jobs have been delayed because of the weather, so we want to do whatever we can to protect that.
What about PUG now? How come you wouldn't use PUG instead of concrete?
Because we have to actually push it up underneath the curbing by hand, and it'll harden and solidify, and PUG, we won't be able to get any compaction on it.
Okay.
Then we were going to go into administrative, executive for a bit to talk about filling up Gene's position.
Okay.
On what? Not including our labor. I've got something on my desk. Okay.
All right, so for those listening on the internet, we'll go into executive for 10 minutes. Motion go to executive for personnel.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Did we have